This week's Classic Business Book Review is all about demystifying the world of investing with none other than our regular market raconteur and comeback Iron Woman, Anthea Gardner, founder of Cartesian Capital and now number one best-selling author. Well, at Exclusive Books Hyde Park, at least, it certainly has a nice ring to it. Anthea, chapeau.
Merci.
It's so refreshing to be able to talk to you about things other than the daily sort of market news as we do on Classic. So I'm going to start with a bit of a left field question here. Describe what you do for a living and don't tell me what is written on your business card or your title or your resume. What do you actually do daily for a living?
Okay, this is a great question because a while ago, before I wrote the book, and one of the reasons I wrote the book was I was doing market commentary and I was talking about shares and PE ratios and EV EBITDAs and what I think about management. And my sister messaged me and went, oh, so that's what you do for a living. So I kind of wake up and check the news, check the Asian markets, make sure nothing's fallen apart, you know, there's no missiles being launched, and just to see, get a sense of what's going to happen in the market. And then I just really spend my day watching my portfolio and reading research and pricing bonds. And that's exactly what most of my day is spent doing. I spend a bit of time with my clients, but not that much. We kind of leave that to the salespeople or to the consultants and actuaries who look after the actual pension fund money. But really, that's my day. I read research and make sure I know what companies are doing or what I think about what the companies are doing and speaking to my analysts.
And there's a lot of market news out there. There's a lot of data. There's a lot of gloomy headlines and noise about trade and central banks and politics. What does your information diet look like? So you get up and you consume all of these sources of news. Are there any particular ones that that you have as staples?
The news wires, you mean? Which ones do I go for? Yeah, so obviously the first thing I do is open my Bloomberg terminal, but also we have a work group WhatsApp, and if there's anything super important, it'll happen on there. And I hate to admit it, but I actually do check Twitter, because it's funny how things appear on Twitter. Like, people just know. And so, of course, I follow all the market commentators, and that's really, Bloomberg is your kind of absolute go-to. And then emails, because I have service providers, the banks and the stockbrokers, who send me news every single minute of every single day. You should see what my inbox looks like. Well, you could probably imagine, right?
Well, 40,000 unread emails, something like that. But it's a very interesting question for retail investors, because I think very often they feel overwhelmed by the amount of news out there, the amount of headlines, and from all of the short-term macro data and the high-frequency data, what to ignore, what not to ignore. And I think that's what I really liked about your book, Anthea, is you've created a framework for even the very novice retail investor to dip their toe into the water of investing and not feel intimidated. You've demystified things, because I think, and you know, having covered markets for almost two decades now, it's a big critique of your industry. There's almost this asymmetry of power. You'd want to talk about EV and EBITDA and ROE, which is important. It's not like you're making these words up, but it does intimidate people. Generally, when you have these conversations with your sister, for example, or friends, what is their big fear about investing in markets?
But you've hit the nail on the head. It's that kind of, we use all this lingo and the slang, and we do it not because we are trying to be too clever, I think, but because that's what we do every day. You know, that's kind of in our heads. It's what we talk about in the office. But exactly as you said, when I spoke to my sister about it, and her eyes glazed over, and I manage her and her husband's money. And so I spoke what I thought was fairly like down to earth language when I was talking about where we want to be invested and, you know, how much we want in shares and how much we want in bonds and about their property portfolio. And her eyes glazed over and I thought, but you've grown up in an environment of bankers. Our dad's a banker. And you're still looking at me as if I'm crazy. And then I knew. And so one of the things that I realized quite like as I was, before I even wrote this book, this is why I wrote the book, actually. It wasn't my idea, by the way. It was Jonathan Ball Publishers. They asked me to write the book. Is that I spend so much of my day looking at PE ratios, EV, EBITDA, financial statements, income, balance sheet, and all this kind of, and the market segments, and it's just almost too much. That actually, I almost felt like when I was speaking to my clients that I'd withdrawn myself from the real people whose money I invest. So I don't spend my day talking to pension fund investors, but actually, those are the real people's money that I'm managing at the end of the day. And they don't care for PE ratios and financial statements. They want to know for them, is their money safe, and how are they going to make money, and is it going to be okay? And that's what I tried to do. I really, in this book, tried to break down that. Okay, so my world can be intimidating, but it's actually not. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's actually going to be okay. And to start, this is what you need to do. And it can be boring. You know, if you sit in front of a financial advisor or planner and he also starts talking about risk and return, and you almost don't know if you're a retail investor, which questions to ask. And I'm hoping my book will be that. You know, it'll give the retail investor insight into what to ask his financial planner.
It's exactly what Dave Crawford loves to talk to me about when we talk retirement. And he says the best way to improve retirement outcomes is actually to empower everyday savers and investors to ask the right questions. And you then get over that asymmetry of power that exists in the market. And the book is entitled Make Your Money Work For You. And I think that's ultimately what people want. They want their money to work for them so that eventually they can retire in comfort, or they can save for that car, or perhaps not have to take out a loan to go overseas, but actually do it off of savings, which is what you really should be doing. There's a lot in the book. I don't want to give it all away. It starts almost from A to Z. But what I really liked was your description of the many animals in the investment zoo. But and as someone who's covered the markets for a while, I think there are a lot of animals. And a lot of those animals are, shall we say, difficult to classify for retail investors. So I'd like to just zoom in your description of who's who in the zoo, because knowing the players will at least help listeners to know where to start on their investment journey.
So I guess that was probably quite a cheeky chapter, because I did make it up. and as I describe the animals in the zoo, being us, of course, me included, it's kind of how I see them. So just take it with a pinch of salt, kind of tongue in cheek. And, you know, and really, because it's exactly back to that same thing. So, Anthea, what do you do every single day of your life? Like, what is an asset manager? And when I tell people that, you can also see that they're not quite sure. So do you count assets? What exactly do you do? So that's what that chapter is trying to do. And we start off, I think my first analogy or comparison is the financial planner. He's a giraffe, or she's a giraffe, and she's well dressed because she presents to people. And the thing with financial planners is that they make their money from commissions. So obviously, the more money you have to invest, the more they're going to make. And so part of the problem is that they spend a lot of time with their high net worth individuals, and they forget about the lower kind of lower LSM groups who really need the financial planning, because they don't make that much money off somebody who's investing, let's say, 200 or 500 or 1,000 rand a month, but rather they're going for the 10 million rand a month, right? So, and the retail, us, we're their clients, you know, the consumers, we're their clients, and they make their money from us. So you can understand how this all, like, they don't have enough time to spend with you because you're not a 10 million rand client. But hopefully more and more we'll see things like the robo-advisor come in.
The robo-giraffe.
The robo-giraffe, yes, that's what we have to call it next. And then kind of who's next in that kind of pyramid, kind of zoo, if you like. And I think I sit right at the bottom, the asset manager. You know, I'm fairly far removed from the actual investor, because I just get a pool of money, and every day of my life, I have to make sure that I'm making returns on that money. So my focus is not necessarily on the individual who needs to understand his financial goals, needs to understand his risk and his budget, but I'm kind of managing, I need to understand companies and which shares and which bonds will make me the best returns for those clients. And I kind of lump me in with the pachyderms.
Which are the elephants and the rhinos and the hippos, aren't they?
The thick-skinned people.
The thick-skinned folk. I love the tongue-in-cheek humor in this chapter, and that's certainly why I've honed in on it. And we'll leave it there, because I think it's important for listeners to know really where to start. Go out there and find a giraffe that you can connect with, because that, to me, is the key relationship in terms of the retail investor getting into the world of investing. When you look at somebody like Buffett or Munger, Warren Buffett, Charlie Munger, very well known to listeners, there's so many people who have a ferocious love for their ideas. Now, as an analyst of the investment universe, as you said, that's what you do. How do you separate skill from luck?
That's such an interesting question. It's the usual story, right? There's a lot of luck and a lot of skill and a lot of hard work, and kind of hopefully it all comes together. My view is that I just have to work as hard as I can, and hopefully I'll get lucky one day. It really is all about that.
The Gary Player philosophy.
Yes, and I think Warren Buffett, I speak to a friend of mine who cycles with me, a very smart professor, and him and I talk about the statistical chances of being a Warren Buffett. Like, there was always going to be a Warren Buffett in the world. The fact that he's Warren Buffett is lucky for him, actually. I mean, because I know lots of asset managers who work incredibly hard and who are as dedicated and as kind of insightful as Warren Buffett, but they didn't get quite as lucky as him. And so, yeah, how do I divide it? Just, I have to work hard. That's it.
Well, we do tend to get luckier the harder we work. I think that is the bottom line. Speaking about Warren Buffett, could be any asset manager out there, because there are a number who are so insightful and who work equally hard and live equally frugally, maybe in the same house that they always have. Who do you look up to, Anthea? In your career, your father was a banker, you said. Who else has really inspired you in your journey to get you to this point where you're a regular market commentator, not only on my show, on the likes of CNBC Africa, you're on Cliff Central, your profile is growing, you've got your own business, and you really are flying. Who took you under your wing? Under their wing, I should say.
So I guess I look up to one of the hedge fund managers at Anchor Capital, Glenn Baker, who started me on my financial journey. Like, he employed me way back when in the day at HSBC, and then I moved to RMB with him, and now I'm partnered with Anchor Capital, and he's there and I'm there. And so we're almost back together as a little bit of an inseparable team. And I'm not sure I have one absolute person that I go, you are my quintessential guide to everything and my philosophy. I'd like to think that I develop my own philosophy and my own investment process as I go, and I take lots of bits from everybody. Otherwise, I'm just trying to emulate Buffett or Munger or, you know, Bill Gross or whoever it is. And I can't off the top of my head think of one single person that I'm emulating. But I'd like to think that I take a little bit from each of them.
And you rather self-deprecatingly say you don't have a creative bone in your body in the book. I would beg to differ. You certainly made what could be a fairly dull subject, investing in spreadsheets, very interesting, very entertaining, not least that chapter on who's who in the zoo. And there are many others exactly like that. So, Anthea, well done. And may you stay number one for
Thank
many
you,
weeks
Michael.
At Exclusive Books in Hyde Park, and hopefully rise up the national ranks as well. Cheers.